You know, this hymn, you sing it and it can't help but simplify. Simplify your relationship with the Lord to realize that at the end of it all, the Lord is just our husband. The Lord is just our husband. And you know, when I was singing this hymn, I was just thinking, my relationship with my Lord as my husband. And you know, in the Lord's eyes, everything in our heart, anything in our heart that replaces Him is another lover. Is another lover. And I was just thinking of all the times when I'm spending time with something else other than the Lord. And I realized when we were singing this hymn, how many times was the Lord watching me putting my time in something else? In other words, how many times was my husband looking at me giving time to other lovers? And I realized, Lord, I was unfaithful in your sight. And you saw me there spending time and loving something else. So brothers and sisters, I hope you would have this realization. Even when we come to the message this morning on the matter of mixture, that it's good to view this matter in the context of our relationship with the Lord. Let's read the title of this message together. Being purified through the Word of God for the recovery of the building of God's house. In God's eyes, unfaithfulness to Him is a mixture. You know, we might think of mixture as something, maybe it's we love this thing more, we love that thing more, and then, or maybe something that's not the Lord in our heart. But in the context of our romance with the Lord, a mixture is just when you have other lovers. And can you imagine if you were in a relationship, or if you were married, and your spouse would be unfaithful to you, even in plain sight? What disloyalty and what unfaithfulness. And that is what mixture is like to the Lord. Maybe I'll use another example about mixture. If this example of the relationship doesn't, it's not as relatable to you, and this is a lighter moment, have you ever asked for a cup of water? And then when you get the cup of water, you take it over and you look at it. And because you didn't get the water yourself, you have to examine the quality of that water. And have you ever gotten water and then you notice like a little speck? Or like, you don't know what's in there, but something got in. And either you want different water or you want to take that speck out. Have you ever had that experience? Well, I've had that experience plenty of times. And you know, saints, the fact that some of us can't even stand a speck of something else in the pure water, the fact that you feel about that, about mixture in water, let alone how God feels about mixture, about something that is an impurity in what should be pure. Well, this morning I'd like to speak to you about really three things. Number one, why is purity important to God? And I think I said that a little bit. Number two, I'd like to talk to you about purity, but it's not so much, you'll realize, don't want to talk to you about so much about what you do or what you say, or not what others see you seem to be. What others see you do. I want to talk about the purity that's in your heart. In your heart. Recovery is an inward matter. And if we're going to talk about the purity in your heart, that means we're going to go through some verses in the Bible that show us where there might be impurity in our heart. You know, in the Bible it says, for example, in the book of Acts, it says that God, one of His titles is He is the knower of the hearts of all. And in another verse in Acts, that's Acts chapter 1, in Acts, I think it's 15, it says, God is the knower of hearts. And then in the Old Testament, in many places, it says that God searches the hearts. And that's what we want the Lord to do with us today. He already knows your heart. He knows my heart. But we're going to, I hope, in the next 40 minutes or so, the Lord would search our hearts, would shine a light into our hearts and look at the things in our heart. And then lastly, I would like to talk to you about an excellent way to be purified, to be pure and without mixture before the Lord. So, you know, yesterday night, our brother did an excellent job showing us the history of the children of Israel and with respect to the good land in the Old Testament. And, you know, everything in the Old Testament actually is related to us, and it's an example to us. 1 Corinthians 10:11 says, now these things happened to them, that's the Israelites, as an example. And they were written, interesting, it doesn't say it was written for them. It says, they were written for our admonition, our exhortation, our charge, unto our warning, unto whom the ends of the ages have come. So I hope you wouldn't think, when we're going to Ezra and Nehemiah, that all this is just like, you know, from, it's actually more than 2,000 years ago. How does it relate to me? Actually, all these things were written as examples and as admonition, as warnings to us. Okay? Now let's read Roman numeral 1. Before Ezra arrived,
there was a mixture among God's recovered people, but he purified the recovery by causing the holy seed to be separated from anything even.
Amen. And then let's read brothers A, sisters B.
Babylon is a mixture of the things of God with the things of the idols, and the principle of Babylon is the principle of mixing the things of man with the word of God, and the things of the flesh with the things of the spirit.
Sisters? So please highlight in A, Babylon is a mixture. Babylon is a mixture, right? This shows you what Babylon is. A mixture of what? The things of God with the things of idols, and the mixing the things of man with the word of God, and the things of the flesh with things of the spirit. We'll see this more later. And then in B, please note that anything that is a part of Babylon is abominable in the sight of God. And anything Babylonian gives Satan the ground to defeat the people of God. So any mixture gives Satan to defeat the people of God. You know, in Ezra's time, you know, did you know that not all the children of Israel came out of Babylon? Actually, I'm not sure if you realize that. Not all the children of Israel, after they were brought into captivity, came out of Babylon. Only a remnant. Not everyone came back. Only a remnant came back. And, well, number one, I'd like to ask you, would you like to be part of this remnant? Amen. You don't want any part of mixture, right? Right. You want to be absolute for the Lord, right? This morning I was upstairs and I heard you all sing, I'm for the Lord. You know what that is? That means you want to come back. Amen. From mixture, from Babylon, to back to the good land. Now, even though this group of people came back, something very interesting. They came out of Babylon, but Babylon did not come out of them. When the children of Israel, when they left Egypt, remember, they crossed the Red Sea, right? Now that was all the people of God. But even there, when they came out of Egypt, Egypt did not come out of them for decades. For decades. It takes a long, you know, it's one thing to be removed outwardly. It's one thing to be in the meetings, right? It's so good to be at Penuel at the conference. But it's another thing whether what is in the world has come out of our heart, right? So that was the situation of the children of Israel. And they needed to be recovered because what was in them, inwardly in their heart, was still Babylon, was still Babylonian in many, many respects. Okay, now let's read Roman numeral 2 together.
Those who are pure in heart will see God.
Okay, and then brothers A, sisters B.
To be pure in heart is to be single in purpose, to have the single goal of accomplishing God's will for God's glory.
And then sisters B.
A pure heart is a heart that takes the Lord as the unique goal.
Okay, and then Roman numeral 3 altogether. We need to have not only a good conscience, but also a pure conscience. Brothers A.
A good conscience is a conscience without offense toward God and man.
Sisters B.
A pure conscience is a conscience purified of any mixture. Such a conscience testifies that we are seeking
only God and His will. Okay, so we'll come back to Roman numeral 2. I want to draw your attention to Roman numeral 3. There is a good conscience and a pure conscience. And what is a good conscience? You know, a conscience is part of your heart. And a good conscience is a conscience without offense toward God and man. So on this point on the good conscience, I'd like to ask you, do you practice a life of confessing your sins when the Lord shines on what you've done? I hope so. I hope so. You know, sometimes it's easy to forget. Or sometimes you just feel like it's not that big of a deal. And then you just let it go, right? But we should practice to have a good conscience, but the burden is on the pure conscience. What's the difference between a good and a pure conscience? What's a pure conscience? A conscience purified of any mixture. A conscience that testifies, like Paul, we are seeking what? Only God and His will. You know, on this matter of the good conscience and pure conscience, I'll put it this way. I think a couple months ago in New York City, we had a local young people's retreat right here. And you remember, for the young people that were there, I shared with you on even my personal testimony about cursing. You remember that? And I talked, and I used Zephaniah 3:9, where actually Jehovah said, He desires to change the language of the people into a pure language. Did you know that? One aspect of purity is God wants us to change our language to a pure language. Amen. Now, what is a pure language? You might think it's just a good language, but I like to go farther. I like to say it's a language without mixture. You know, when I the young people in that retreat, that I first noticed curse words and bad words. I was in Taiwan at the time when I was in the sixth grade. And for about 2 months, I thought that to be cool, to be accepted, to be welcome, I should say that. I should practice saying it. And, you know, I remember just trying to be accepted. You know, I mean, you all know what it's like to try to be accepted, right? So, you know, like, then your friends think you're cool. So, try to say it. But, you know, every time I said it, something just felt like, in me just felt like, this is wrong. You shouldn't say that. Like, this doesn't match who you are. Mm-hmm. Have you ever had that feeling? If you've spoken bad words? Well, you know what eventually happened? It's about a month later, trial, okay? Then I learned how to do this. I learned how to, in front of the saints, in front of my parents, don't use any bad words. But in front of my friends and at school, oh yeah, I'll be cool. I'll be cool. But you know what? That's mixture in my language. And God wants to change our language into a pure language. So the language you speak at home and you speak in front of the saints is the same language that you use at school and in front of your friends. So This is just a matter of the good conscience. And if you know, we're not here to be legalistic or anything like that. If you use a bad word in front of me, I'm not going to say, brother. I'm not going to do it because I was there. It's hard. But I hope you have a sense within you, this is wrong. And you know, after I tried that for about a month, at a certain point, I said, Lord, this is wrong, and I'm never going to use these words ever again. And then so then I just stop using those curse words. And you can make the same kind of decision with the Lord in your language. You confess, you agree that it's wrong, and you bring your language before the Lord. May the Lord make your language a pure language. And you know, and I know some, they never speak the bad words, but because you watch so many movies, because you watch, you know, so many things online, guess what? You may not say it, but don't the bad words sometimes come in your mouth, in your mind? Has that ever happened to you? Pure language, not only here, but also here. Okay, then on this matter of the pure conscience. Okay, this is actually where the burden is, on the matter of purity. Please note in Roman numeral 2, what is it to be pure in heart? I'd like you to read this. To be pure in heart is to be?
Single in purpose.
To be what in purpose?
Single in purpose.
To have the single goal. And what's the goal? Of accomplishing God's will for God's glory. And in B, what is the unique goal? The Lord. So a pure heart, a pure conscience, is a heart that takes the Lord as the unique goal. Well, I now would like to talk to you about your goals and your values. And I'm not going to talk about outward things so much, but what's in your heart. And allow the Lord to search our hearts. And I'm going to say some things, and you might feel like, well, these don't apply to me. But you know, I brought this water bottle today. And you know what's interesting about this water, right? For those of you that think, oh, some of the things that he's going to talk about, maybe it doesn't apply to me. Does this look pure to you? Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah, it should be pure. I mean, it's Poland Springs. It's from Maine. Right? It's got to be pure. Okay. But you know, you probably don't realize what I did is, well, maybe I'll do this for you. And you tell me what you see. Do you all see anything? What did you all see? Did you see some rocks and particles in there? You did, right? You know what I did? I put some, before the meeting, I went by the road and I put some rocks and I put some dirt in here. But don't worry, I drank the water already. So this is just water from the bathroom. Well, so it's even more mixture, right? But here's my point. Here's my point. Sometimes, there's a reason why I'm saying this. Sometimes we feel like our heart is very, very pure because nothing has ever come to stir it up, has never come to move it, to stir it. But sometimes all it takes is you're applying for college. And then there are some things that you start to see in your heart. Maybe you think, you know what? I never have an issue with money. Like, I love the Lord. I will give all my money to the Lord. Actually, that's why I want to make a lot of money. So that if I make 10 million, I'll give you 9 million to you, Lord. And then the Lord gives you that $10 million paycheck, and you know what happens? Oh, the Lord starts to see, and you start to see, there is actually mixture in there. So what I'm about to say, I hope that illustration gives you an impression. I hope what I'm about to say, you don't think, this is not me. Because there may come a time when the right environment comes, and the Lord will show you, actually, that is in you, because the Lord did that to me. And show me that, no, all these things the brothers talk about, they are in you. You just haven't had the environment to bring it forth yet. Okay, three things on the matter of goals and values. Number one, the love of money. Today, people do everything for the sake of money, for more money. People go to certain schools to make more money. You might, for the seniors, you might choose a major. And maybe the reason you chose your major is because that major provides you with the most financial stability. And there's nothing wrong with financial stability. I'm talking about the love of money. People come up with business ideas. For what reason? They say it's to help people. But you know what? I work for people who do the taxes for people who come up with new businesses. And their goal is, they always say, our mission is to help people. And there are some of them like that. And there is some of that in these organizations. But I can tell you, oh, you don't know. These people that put their money into these companies, I talk to them. And they obsess over every dollar, some of them every penny. And they have millions of dollars. So what do they really love? I don't know. Some people are so anxious about the stock market that when they wake up, first thing they do, well, if you wake up early enough, the stock market's not open. But if you wake up at 9 or 9:30, the stock market just opened. And then they'll check, did my stocks go up or did it go down? And that affects their day. What is that? That's the love of money. You know what the Bible says about the love of money? Here is 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 10 through 11a. For the love of money is a root of all evils, because of which some, aspiring after money, have been led away from the faith and pierced themselves through with many pains. If you love money, your life will be a painful one. And then Paul encourages us, but you, O man of God, flee these things. We need to flee the love of money. So you just consider, is money your goal? Has money played a big part in your decisions and considerations? Just consider that. The Lord is searching our heart, right? The Lord's searching our heart. What is your real goal? And with the Lord, you can be honest. You know that we have one hymn among us that says this, that says, I can't remember the lyrics now, exactly now. But it says something like, when in the day I have the dreams of life, I hope, Lord, that in it you would be. And you know, when you're younger, and especially, you know, even I would say even now for me, even though much less, don't you have days when you daydream a little bit and you imagine your future? Have you ever imagined your future and you're maybe thinking like, wow, like I just can't wait to be this, or 10 years from now, 20 years from now, wow, like maybe I'll like live in a really nice suburb and like have great church life, great kids, small in my home, all this stuff, right? Okay. But you know what? I realized that sometimes when I daydreamed, the Lord wasn't in it. The Lord wasn't in my future. And what was in my future was more money, better job, good career, good church life, these kinds of things. But where was the Lord in that? Is the Lord in your future when you imagine your future? When you daydream about your future in class? I hope the Lord is in your future. Okay. Number two, that's the love one. Number two, another thing we need to be purified from is the desire to be popular, famous, praised and commended and welcomed by others at the expense of the Lord's testimony. Today, I feel like on social media, almost everybody, I shouldn't say everybody, because some of us are, you know, many of you are very, very pure, but most people are on social media hunting for likes. You know what I mean, right? And when you post something, I don't know if you remember the day when you first got social media. Like, you post something, and then you check a minute later, and then you check 5 minutes later, and then you check an hour later, just to see how many more likes you got. I remember when I first got Facebook. Oh, this is more than 15 years ago. Probably so many don't even use Facebook. All right, so I'm sorry. Yeah, yes, Brother Ricky, this is outdated. Okay. But it's social media. Okay. The first time I got Facebook, I remember I was like friend requesting all my friends, and then I would check every 10 minutes whether I had more friends that accepted my friend request. And honestly, there was a time when my goal was to be the kid in high school that had the most friends on Facebook. Yeah. Now, you laugh, but that's manifested in people hunting for likes today, isn't it? Is it not? In fact, I would say that many people today are willing to say anything and do anything just to be noticed. Have you ever said anything or do anything just to be noticed, just to get some more attention? You know, these things are in me too. I hope you realize we're on the same level here. This is the Lord searching all of our hearts. But what was the Lord like in the Gospels? You know, in John chapter 12, the Lord spoke to some verses 42 and 40. I want to read you more and more of the word of God so you would get the impression. John 12, 42 to 43. The Pharisees, they did not confess him so that they would not be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the glory of men more than the glory of God. This was the Pharisees. Then Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5, there was a couple, and the church had just started, Ananias and Sapphira. And you know what happened? In those days, the church was so strong that everyone gave what they had to the church, and everyone could share things equally. If you had food, you brought your food, and everyone else could eat your food. Well, in Acts 5, here's Ananias and Sapphira, this couple. These are saints, you know, and they sold a piece of land. Now, after they sold a piece of land, they brought the money to the apostles. But you know, when they brought the money to the apostles, they didn't give the apostles all of the money, all of the proceeds they got from the land. They kept some of the money for themselves, and then they gave the money, the rest of the money, to the apostles. So when they came to the apostle Peter, Peter brought in God's judgment on them and basically told them, you have lied to God and you have lied to the Holy Spirit. Here are these saints, and their heart was not pure. And in Acts chapter 8, there's another account where actually the apostle Peter, again, he tells someone, he says, your heart is not straight before the Lord. Our heart must be straight. Our heart must be pure. Now, how was the Lord like? In John chapter 6, they were trying to make the Lord the king. Now, if your friends were trying to make you the king, what would you do? You know, sometimes we have athletes, right? And people want to make these athletes like the king. Oh, actually, isn't one of the athletes called King? I don't want to say his name, but... Right, you know what I'm talking about. You call him King something, right? What is that? That's feeding someone's desire to be popular, to be welcome, to be made a king. But you know, in the Gospels, it says that when they wanted to make the Lord a king, it says, he withdrew himself into the wilderness. Wow. It's good to practice some withdrawing sometimes. Then what about us? In Matthew chapter 6, the Lord says, maybe I'll just read this to you. This is very, very good. Matthew chapter 6. Okay, I got to flip to it. But take care to not do your righteousness before men, in order to be gazed at by them. Otherwise, you have no reward with your Father who is in the heavens. And the Lord says, truly, when you give alms, do not sound the trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be glorified by men. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward in full. And then the Lord says, when you give alms, when you pray, do in secret, so that your Father who sees in secret will repay you. This is our Lord, and this is us. And brothers and sisters, our true reward is from the Lord. Is from the Lord. I realize that sometimes you feel like these likes or these friend, you know, people accepting your friend requests, I understand sometimes that feels like a reward. You know, in a sense, it is rewarding. You know, you feel like you're popular, you know? And in fact, in high school, I even ran for student government because I wanted to experience popularity. I did that, and I know why I did that. Of course, I repented of that. But my point is this. Our real reward is not from men. Our real reward is from the Lord. And I hope you would have this thought, and I want to put this thought into your head, that I want the reward from the Lord more than any reward people would give me in this age. I want the reward in the next age more than the reward in this age. May this be a controlling vision to you. Okay, number three. We may give the Lord some place in our heart, but not the first place. And we may see things that are more than just the Lord. You know, we may treat the Lord like a friend with benefits. Right? You feel like if you believe in the Lord, then, oh, the Lord's going to cause your life to prosper and all these things. Well, I mean, I've had that thought. And the Lord is, well, he does come with benefits, but he's not a friend for benefits. He's just a friend with benefits. And, you know, in Psalm chapter 12, there's this very interesting phrase. Psalm chapter 12, verse 2. Each man speaks falsehood with his neighbor, with flattering lips and a double heart they speak. What is a double heart? Did you know that in the Hebrew, in the original language, here it says, with a heart. And that's why in the English, we couldn't translate that, so we had to translate it to double heart. But in the Lord's eyes, we can have a heart. We can have a double heart. One heart for this and another heart for that. And the Lord wants our heart to just have him as the only goal. And I like to bring up something here, which is, you know, you're at an age, and maybe even when you were younger, you start to notice the opposite gender. You start to notice the opposite gender. And I would like to let you know first, these feelings are normal. In Genesis, it says it is not good for man to be alone. So it's normal to have these feelings for the opposite gender. So don't feel condemned or guilty for having these feelings. But do not allow the feeling to develop into something that takes away your heart from the Lord. And do not allow these feelings at your age to distract you from the Lord. Preserve yourself unto the day of marriage. That's all I'll say on this point. Okay, let's go to Roman numeral 5. Let's read that all together.
We can be purified through the washing process of the water of life in God's pure word. The more a person is in the word of God, the purer he becomes.
So now we come to a way, an excellent way to be purified. I realized that was not easy, but I really wanted to talk about these issues face to face. And in a way that nothing is taboo and everything is up for the Lord's searching. So I hope you would understand why I don't think I was that direct, right? Relatively direct with some of these issues. Well, now that we have seen this, the Lord has given us a way to be pure. And the way is his word. In Ephesians 5:26, that verse says, I should just read it so to be, you know. Actually, maybe you all can flip to it. Ephesians 5:26, okay? This is a crucial verse. And what is it saying? That I'll just start reading. That he might sanctify her, cleansing her by the washing of the water in the word. So there is water in the word that can sanctify us, that can wash us, and that can cleanse us. And then in Psalm chapter 12, verse 6, it tells us the reason why the word can cleanse us. Psalm 12, verse 6, the words of Jehovah are pure words, silver refined in a furnace on the earth, purified 7 times. The Lord's word is so pure that it's purified. It's like silver purified 7 times. 7 times. So when we get into the Lord's word, when you read the Lord's word has a way to purify your heart, right? That's what the Lord's word can do. And I'd like to bring you back to what did Ezra do with the word? You remember we talked about in the beginning that we didn't really talk about the foreign wives, but, you know, Ezra noticed the mixture because he saw the word of God, and then he noticed that the living of the children of Israel were not up to par with what the word of God said. And so what Ezra did is that Ezra chapter 10, verse 1, you see Ezra's response and how he responded to the speaking of the word. And Ezra's, the way he responded to the word is a pattern for us. And it says, Ezra prayed and made confession, weeping and throwing himself down before the house of God. And when Ezra did that, a very large gathering of men and women and children were gathered together to him out of Israel, for the people wept very bitterly. So the way we allow the word to purify us is once we see something from the word, like Ezra, we pray, we confess, we have a response. In Ezra's case, weeping and kneeling down. And we deal with the word in this way. Now let's come to the last Roman numeral. Let's read that all together.
If we take God's nature as our unique way and are infused and saturated with the life-giving Spirit, we will be pure without any mixture and transparent without any opaqueness. Our inner being will become transparent and crystal clear.
Okay, and this is the last portion I will speak on for a few minutes. This Roman numeral shows us the benefits of allowing the word to purify us. Okay, and I'd like to say a few things on this. Number one, Matthew 5:8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. The more you read the Bible, the more you're in the word, the more you will see the Lord. Number two, Psalm 119, Verse 9, Psalm 119, verse 9. And this verse says, With what should a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. You can keep your way pure by guarding your way according to the Lord's word. You know, the Lord's word, the word of God, is like a guardrail. You know, on the highway, there are those guardrails, right? And if someone falls asleep at the wheel, well, I don't know if it's for that, but one time I did fall asleep at the wheel and the guardrail saved me. Otherwise, I would have rolled off the mountains in Pennsylvania. Yeah, it did happen. And those guardrails, they kept me what? They kept me on the straight way. And in the same way, the word of God can guard your way. Amen. So that your way would be straight. Your way would be the fastest way to the Lord. And it guards your way also by protecting you. The word can protect you from the attacks of the evil one. Okay, number three. 1 Timothy 1:5 says, the end of the charge is love out of a pure heart. The more pure our heart is, the more we will love the Lord. Don't you want to love the Lord?
Amen.
Well, the more you read the word, the more the word purifies your heart, and the more you will love the Lord.
Amen.
Because love is out of a pure heart. Number four, the word will bear fruit in you. Isaiah 55, 8 through 11. Well, I'll just read 10 and 11. For just as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and does not return there until it waters the earth and makes it bear and sprout forth, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so will my word be, which goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me vainly, but it will accomplish what I delight in, and it will prosper in the matter to which I have sent it. Brothers and sisters, the word can bear fruit in you. Never think that anything in the word is impossible, or that anything that we spoke this morning is impossible. Everything is possible with God. Anything is possible in the realm of faith. The difference is that, just like this verse says, sometimes the word is like, just as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven. And then later, the seed, there will be seed for the sower and bread to the eater. You know, sometimes you get into the word, and you may not see the effects immediately. When the rain comes down, the snow comes down, does the bread come right there and then? No. It falls into the earth, and then there's a process. And then eventually, there's bread. In the same way, when you get in the word, you may not see the immediate impact. You know, I'm still dealing with all those things we talked about. Love of money, want to be welcome, all these things. But we have to trust. The more we're in the word, eventually there will be seed for the sower and bread for the eater. Don't expect immediate results. Okay. Lastly, my last point. Your life will be simplified, and you will become a way to lead others and usher others to touch the Lord. In Revelation chapter 21, verse 21, there it's talking about the New Jerusalem, and it says this, "And the street of the city was pure gold, like transparent glass." Eventually, you can be so pure that you're like pure gold, like transparent glass. What does this mean? It means that, number one, when our heart is pure, we become simple. When you make a decision, you no longer feel tugged by different considerations and different directions. You just realize, I just need to put the Lord first, and the Lord will take care of everything else. Your life will become simple, becomes transparent, becomes clear. And secondly, when you are pure, others can sense it, others can smell it, and others can see it. When you see some brothers and sisters, you just know that they are absolute for the Lord. And they can help you to be absolute for the Lord. And you know, saints, you are not too young for this. I know one high school brother, whenever I talk to him, I feel like I'm in God's presence. A high school brother. And whenever I talk to him, I feel like I'm the sinful one. Like I'm Eli, old Eli, and he's Samuel. There's a high school brother who's like this. And why is that? Because his heart is pure. And when I touch him, I touch the street of the golden street of the city. And he leads me to touch the Lord. In the same way, you can become a golden street to lead others to touch the Lord. Amen. I hope you all will be in the Word of God more and more so that the Lord can purify our hearts and that we could lead others to the Lord and that we also would be a wife absolutely faithful to him. Amen. Amen.